Hey writers, I'm Jenny Nash, founder and CEO of Author Accelerator. It's back to school time, which means it's a great time to start training to become a book coach. By this time next year, you could be certified and out there helping writers bring their books to life, even if you're not a published author yourself. Take our quiz, The 10 Characteristics of a Great Book Coach, to find out if you have what it takes to become a great book coach. Visit bookcoaches.com/characteristics-quiz. That's the clunkiest URL ever, so let me say it again. bookcoaches.com/characteristics-quiz. We'll also put it in the show notes so you know you're going to the right place.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone, try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to rustle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
I'm KJ Delatonia, and this is Hashtag Am Writing, the weekly podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, pitches, proposals, fiction, nonfiction. This is the podcast about getting the work done. And I am solo this week. I am coming to you from my office where I have just noticed that I am no longer the proud possessor of a fancy podcasting microphone, which suggests to me that one of my children, who have left for a variety of locations, is now the proud possessor of a really cool podcasting microphone. So I will be doing something about that. But in the meantime, here I am via the magic of the microphone on my AirPods. So I hope that I do not sound too challengingly terrible. All right, so I am here today with the idea that I'm going to talk to you about how to start a novel from scratch. And the reason for that is that it is almost time for me to start a new novel from scratch. Maybe. Almost. Not quite. But soon. There's a decent chance that the novel I am working on now will be finished soon in the Now We Try to Sell It sense, and it will definitely be back in my lap for editing. But I think that the best version of it that I can do on my own, even after the people that I have reading it now have read it, and the version that we will try to sell, I think that moment is nigh. It is coming. And after that, I get to start something new, which is, it's the best, right? I get, like, the novel you haven't written yet is, like, it's the best novel. I mean, it's going to be great, right? It's going to be everything I hoped for. It's going to be everything I dreamed of, and I don't even know what it's about yet, but undoubtedly, whatever it's about, it's going to be amazing. So, the question is, what do I do to start? So when I wrote The Chicken Sisters, I had been noodling and working on that particular idea for a really long time. When I wrote In Her Boots, I kind of just jumped on my next idea. I didn't really give it a lot of thought. So for Playing the Witch Card, again, I really wanted to write witches. And I worked really hard to come up with an idea around witches. For the book that I have been working on now, I went through a whole process, which y'all can listen to, in the summer of what Jenny Nash and I called the Idea Factory. It was episodes 366 to 373, and it was a whole, I think it was like 8 episodes about ideating or idea-aiding or coming up with an idea. And I really worked on coming up with the best. I really wanted to find an idea that I wanted to spend this much time on and that I felt like people were gonna really want to read. I wanted something meaty and juicy. It is a romantic comedy, but it also has a lot. It has a lot to it. I'm pretty sure it's gonna end up sitting on the commercial fiction shelves next to The Chicken Sisters and In Her Boots, and you know, the occasional arrival of Playing the Witch Card, which I think bookstores are really confused about where to shelve. But there's a whole pile of those. I feel like they're going to have to start like witchy shelves. Anyway, that's a different project, different problem. Point is, I was really happy with that. I really felt good about the process of picking that idea, that I really wanted to work on it. My agent felt good about it. The people around me felt good about it. And I forced myself to put it to the test, to talk about it with people, which was really challenging. And I think that made it better and stronger. Whether or not I'll sell it remains to be seen. And I know y'all probably think that I'm just saying that, but I am not. I mean, it could totally not sell, but it also could totally sell. And I feel pretty good. I think it probably will. I'm in a pretty good place. It probably will, but it might not. That'll be okay. I'll write something else. So, but first I need an idea, which is why I am here talking to you. So I've written some of this out so that y'all can read it in the show notes. And if you're not subscribed, you totally should be. It's amwritingpodcast.com. And that will be helpful. But I also just wanted to talk you through what I'm going to do this month. Y'all know that I like to have a goal every day that involves, you know, a sticker if I achieve it, because I like my stickers. The day as I record, we're already in the first week of September. I have not been doing that because I have had a lot of family obligations, which apparently should have included, whapping somebody on the head and getting my microphone back, but did not. So I haven't been doing anything, which is totally fine. Now it's time to do things, and I don't have enough notes back on the draft that I am working on to dig back into it. So I'm going to let myself start noodling this next idea. So I've got a five-step plan, and they're flexible steps. So if I need to stop in mid-step and shift my goal for that week to some form of revision, it's going to be fine. My hope, I confess, is that I will be able to come up with this idea, put it to the test, feel pretty good about it in time to write 55,000 words for NaNoWriMo. They probably won't be 55,000 good words. Probably like 2,000 of them will end up in some kind of finished final form, but that seems to be part of my dumpster fire of a process. So I would like to do it in November because that is always fun. So more about that later. Meanwhile, how am I gonna decide what I want to write on? Do I have a bunch of amorphous, half-formed ideas? I absolutely do. Some of them are flimsy. Some of them are great. Some of them are not an idea, but a premise. So the distinction there for me, okay, like a premise, I'm going to just steal this straight out of what I just wrote for y'all, because it's hard to think of a premise on the fly. Okay, so a premise is vampires that feed only on people descended from the original crew and passengers of the Mayflower. That's a premise. And it might even be a hook. Serena and I have a little saying that we say to each other, which is friends don't let friends write books without hooks. So that's a hook. Wouldn't really honestly be enough for me to be like, take my money now, but it might work for some people, especially if you like vampires. So vampires that feed only on people descended from the original crew and passengers on the Mayflower. That's entertaining. I'm not writing that. Feel free to steal it. That's entertaining. It could be interesting. But the thing that will turn that premise into an idea is the question of, why does it matter? Who does it matter to inside the book world? And why does it matter to readers? So you need a lot more than just, you know, vampires and victims to turn a premise into a full-on idea. So I have a pile of things like that. I have a pile of like meet cutes or interesting things that people could do or small bits of news story. And by pile, I mean in my head. Like, sadly, this is not in any easily locatable. I really should write them down, but I don't necessarily. I write some of them down. So I have a small list in the back of my bullet journal. I have a big list in my 2022 bullet journal from when I did this. We'll get to that later. But yeah, I have a lot of like little bits and pieces of things. And I do find that the little bits and pieces of things that stick to me longest are probably the ones that make the best ideas. But at this point, they're all just like little bits and pieces of things. We're going to need to crash at least two or three of them together to turn them into each other, into something. So here's my plan. First thing I'm going to do, wander some bookstores. I did a little bit of this the other night. I happened to have to charge my car at a very large Barnes & Noble, and I had a delightful time just wandering around and contemplating what's on the shelves, what are people buying, what are they putting out there, and what's interesting to me. I mean, there's a ton of romanticy out there. I'm not gonna do that. I like to read it sometimes. I'm not gonna write it. But it's fun. It's interesting to see what's there, and also to sort of start figuring out, like, why are some things shelved here? Why are some scenes shelved there? Horror is clearly having a moment, which could be like a fall thing. I don't know. It was interesting. And I'm going to do some more of that. Now, the problem with that is that invariably you end up standing in the giant Barnes & Noble filled with thousands and thousands upon thousands of books and think to yourself, does the world really need another book? And yeah, the answer to that is no. The world absolutely does not need another book, but it's going to get one. So put that thought aside. That's not an option. I will be writing another book. Presumably, you too will also be writing a book. So we don't care that there are lots of books out there. It's fine. We're not there to mess with ourselves. Please silence that part of your inner voice. I will work on silencing mine. Okay. So that's one of the things that I'm going to do. Another thing that I'm going to do, I, as it happens, am taking two trips in September that involve airplanes. But if I weren't, I would just find somebody else who was and ask them to do this for them. Me, I'm going to play what I call the airport game. So we talked about that in extreme depth in episode 367. It is linked in the show notes, but let me lay it out for you. It's fine. You can listen to that. It's a great episode, but I'll lay it out for you. Basically, it goes like this. You go to the airport, or you ask a friend who's going to the airport, and you find the airport store, Hudson, whatever your airport stores are called. Did you know that in Atlanta, they're like CNN stores? I don't know. That's totally weird to me. Whatever it is, you want the airport store with the smallest selection of books, like the one that has like one rack face out of books. And if that rack is only as tall as you are, that's even better. There shouldn't be more than like 20 books here, max. Take a picture. Now, when you get on the plane or while you're waiting for your probably delayed plane, walk yourself through it and think and ask yourself, okay, which of these books is most like something I could have written? I mean, those books are always going to include, you know, some businessy books. I don't myself write those. They're going to include some historical fiction. That is also not my writing jam. There's probably some form of science fiction or fantasy there. Again, not my writing jam, unless it's witches, and I'm not going to do that again this time. So, but there are going to be a couple of books there, maybe 5 to 6 to 8. That you're like, oh, yeah, that is the kind of thing I might write. And they could be, I mean, like some of them could be thrillers. By the way, I've noticed that thriller is this huge, like thriller basically includes any mystery that is not a series at this point, in my opinion. So that is, it's a huge category. So they could be thrillers. They could be, I mean, they could be, my guess is that there are probably a couple of obvious looking genres that you still might write a book within. I mean, even within just fiction, you know, there's the sort of big premise fiction. There's the sort of big name author fiction. I tend myself to disregard whatever the current, John Grisham or whatever is that is. But to some extent, that's silly because some of those, I mean, John Grisham had to write his first books at some point, right? So maybe that is one that I would consider. It depends on who the person is. You know, if Ellen Hildebrand has a book up there, I'm totally looking at that because that is the kind of thing I write, even though people that buy those books are like, I'm going to buy an Ellen Hildebrand book. I would like that to be me. I'm sure you would like that to be you. Please say to yourself, I'm going to go buy the next KJ Dell'Antonia because I just like the sound of that. Okay. So, airport gate. Back to the airport gate. So, come up with the books that are the ones that are on your, like in your wheelhouse. And then look at each one of them carefully and ask two major questions. They have sort of some sub questions, but there's two big questions here. First,
why is this here? Why is it in the airport bookstore? Why is it one of the 20 books that they have chosen for this rack? And that is why you pick a tiny rack. Why do people love it? Or why are they buying it and talking about it? You know, people don't have to love everything and they don't necessarily even finish what they buy, but they're going to take a chance on this book to go on a plane where they don't have any other form of entertainment. Actually, nowadays they do. They have their phone. They have whatever's in the back of it. But if you're a person who buys a book for a flight, you want it to be a good book. So why? Why is this book here? And two, why is it like something I could have written? What about this said to you, Oh, I could potentially have done that. I would be interested in, but in that, is it the fact, is it its thrillery category? Is it the fact that it includes a legal subplot? Is it the mothers and sisters piece of it that is really fascinating? Like, what about it made it shine to you? All right. So you've answered those questions. Then you spend your flight, or maybe 2 hours in coffee shop if somebody else took this picture for you, or if it's a short flight, because maybe you don't have time. So however many books you have, I'm doing math here. Math is hard. However many books you have, each one of those books is going to get 30 minutes. And you need to do this all together. You really do, because your ideator is going to get flowing. It gets the juices flowing. So pin yourself down with nothing but your notebook or your bullet journal and stick your AirPods in a coffee shop or on the airplane. And this is all you're going to do. This is all you get to do. So you have to have that amount of time. You have no more than 30 minutes for each book or pitch, and you're probably going to need the 30 minutes. You want to spend this time coming up with an idea and a brief pitch for something that resembles each one of these books. So if you have 6 books, you're going to need at least 6 pitches. And the rule is it has to have a title, a logline, some rough flap copy, and an inner and outer plot with a story arc that has a beginning, middle, and end. You can do that in 30 minutes. It doesn't have to be great. And nobody's going to see it but you. But be honest with yourself, because at some point you probably are going to pitch these to somebody else. So be honest with yourself. Make yourself think it through. Don't just go, I know, vampires who only eat people who are descended from the original crew and passengers of the Mayflower. That's not enough. You need stretch that out. Turn it into something that you could describe to somebody about as a book that you are considering writing. So that's the second thing I'm going to do, and I will totally enjoy doing it. And I will definitely spend more time with those pitches, but for now, that's one of the things I'm going to do this month. All right. Do a wild title brainstorm. I actually did this at the same time as the airport game, because I think I must have been flying to California, so I had a lot of time. So that's a good thing to do, but just sit down and just come up with like excellent titles. I made a list. I've got it right here, and it's got about 30 just things that I thought would make a good title for a book. I didn't think about what the book was. I didn't think about whether or not I wanted to read it. I'm never writing something called Sandy Sheets, although it is on here. I just came up with things that would make good titles. And I have to tell you that one of the titles that I came up with, Romantic Comedy, has been used to great effect by Curtis Sittenfeld. And it's not like I didn't like come up with that in some proprietary way. It's just on my list. And when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, I knew that was a good title. And another, like I had a whole bunch of variations of Sandwich on here. And Catherine Newman just wrote a great book called Sandwich. So I guess I didn't need all the variations on it. Anyway, just think of titles. Should you write a book just because you can think of a good title and you're going to write a book to that title? No, maybe, yes, I don't know. But mostly like a title, I mean, some books just have great titles. Beach Read, Summer Romance, A Star is Bored, Blonde Identity. Those are all great titles that could have any of a variety of stories attached to them. It's just when people buy one of those books, because they're buying the vibe of the title. They're not buying, they don't know exactly. I mean, Summer Romance, that could be, I could give you 100 stories to go with that. And I love, by the way, the one Annabelle Monaghan gave to it, I adore. It was excellent, super fun. Same with Beach Read. That book is chef's kiss perfect. It really is. I think it's genre perfection. Anyway, people are buying the vibe, not the plot, when they buy a book called Brooklyn Air, which is also a fantastic title. So come out, just do titles. You might fall in love with one of these titles, write the book, and then, you know, the publisher might be like, nope, we're giving it a totally different title. Although, I don't know, if you think of a great title, you're probably going to stick with it. Anyway, that is another fun thing to do. All right, so number 4 here, this is a maybe. Maybe look over your old idea notebooks if you keep them. I'm a little unsure about this because I don't want to turn off. Like, I'm not going to take my idea notebook into that session where I'm trying to do the airport game, because I don't want those ideas to pollute my ability to come up with new ideas. If I come up with something that is a riff on one of those ideas, That's probably a good sign that it's still a pretty good idea. If I'm still thinking about it 2 years later, sometimes I come up with good ideas and totally forget them. So that's why I would go back to my list, but I'm going to do that in a different place. But they, because they might jog something loose, or they might click with, like, I might be like, ooh, that idea, but with this character. I think that can be fun. All right. And the final thing that I'm going to do after I've done this other stuff is I'm going to pick a couple of the ideas from that airport game, and I'm going to noodle those out a little further. And now we're kind of into the Idea Factory protocol from the Idea Factory's episodes that we did. So if you're thinking about doing this, you go back, give those a listen. I might give them a listen. That'd be a little weird because it's hard to listen to your own voice in a podcast, but I might do it anyway. I'm going to flesh out a couple of these because the hardest part of this when I did it last time was actually talking about the ideas too. I talked to Jenny, I talked to Serena, and I talked to my agent. And I can tell you will never feel stupider than when you're going, well, I was thinking a book, and there would be a witch who, like, her grandmother ran something. It was kind of a bakery, and she wants to be, but she doesn't want to be a witch. I mean, you just feel dumb. It's a dumb feeling. I am slowly but surely getting used to it. Just accept it. It's really good to talk these out. So flesh a couple of them out and then try to talk them through with somebody as you're trying to figure out which one you want to do. Because there's nothing wrong with trying to figure out which is the most commercial, if that's what you want to do. I personally want to write books that a lot of people buy and read. That's what I want. And so there's nothing wrong with working on trying to hone one of my ideas into something that will excite readers as well as excite me. All right. Well, that is my how to write a, or rather, I guess, how to start a novel from scratch plan. I feel pretty good about it. It's going to be fun. I love this moment, y'all. This, like I said at the beginning, this is when all the possibility exists, and maybe I will come up with something that is just your solid genius, and everyone will love it. And maybe it won't feel like that, and everyone will still love it, or maybe it'll feel like genius, and everyone won't love it. But I can't think about that now. I just got to focus on coming up with, like, and some of it is, what do I want to do next? Do I want to do something more like this thing that I've done? Do you want to do something completely different? I honestly, I'm not gonna lie, I don't think I want to do something completely different because at this point, especially with the Chicken Sisters TV series coming out, which if you haven't heard about it, it's about to be on Hallmark Plus, and we're gonna do an episode, but we haven't. I think I'm gonna have a lot of people that would like to read something from me that has that same vibe. I'm not going back to Merrimack, the town that it's set in, especially since now the series is out there and it's really different, and it's just not, but I feel like that vibe, that really warm and family oriented, like, feel good but also thoughtful, I hope, vibe. I think that's what people are going to want to see from me, so I would like to do something in that vein, which doesn't necessarily mean I wouldn't do something that had a darker or more serious vibe. I don't know. I don't know yet, but I kind of know that I would like this book to sit nicely on the shelf with all the others, but maybe it veers a little more, maybe it's a little heavier this time. And hey, maybe because this last one I did is super light, it's frothy, it's adorable. I really hope that somebody likes it, buys it, and y'all get to read it. And you know what? If they don't, I'll just give it to you anyway. Anyway, so I did frothy, and it was super fun. And also, there's more to it than that. But I think this time I might go a little more on the dark side. Anyway, those are the kinds of things that I am thinking about. If you are thinking about, if you have like something that you do when you're noodling up a new story, I would love to hear about it. Definitely throw that down in the comments. I will absolutely join the conversation unless, my book comes back and I'm suddenly deep in revisions, but I will let y'all know. Nah, I'll join the conversation. I got some time, man. If it's a heavy revision, I don't know what I'm gonna do. You'll hear about it. Okay. This was great. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for letting me ramble on. I hope that if you're starting a book from scratch, you will take some of this to heart. And by the way, if you are thinking NaNoWriMo, you should definitely do this. I would not want to sail into November with nothing under my belt. Although, I don't know, I guess for some people, I don't know, that could be fun someday. Not what I'm doing this time around. I want to know, I want a little bit of a roadmap. So if you're creating a roadmap too, I would love to hear about it. And in the meantime, as we say every week, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag Am Writing podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Thank you.